Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. If God could leave you a message on a sticky note, what would it say? We've been asking this question in our series called Notes from God, and we're looking at five specific messages that God has for us. In the first week, Pastor Nicole reminded us that God loves us. Last week, Pastor Quint Lindblad reminded us how often we need to slow down. Today, Pastor Nicole is back, and this time, the note reminds us of something that we deal with not only in our everyday life, but certainly in our spiritual lives. So let's get started today and see why it's so important for Christ followers to take out the trash. Here's Pastor Nicole.
Today we're continuing our series called Notes from God. This series will take us through Easter, and we're looking at some things that God would say to us if he could leave us a note, if he could scribble something on a post-it note and leave it on your desk or your refrigerator or your mirror. I started this series with the first one, and it was smile, God loves you. How many of you told somebody that week after we talked about it? All right. Last week, Pastor Quint talked about a note that said, slow down. I had lunch with a friend this week, and she said that her husband came home and said, hey, you better re-listen to that sermon again. We're not trying to give you guys ammo, okay? But that was a good one. Today, we're going to look at this note, one I have definitely written and left on my kitchen table before, and it is, don't forget to take out the trash. Take out the trash. A few years ago, the head of the Assemblies of God in Pennsylvania came to speak here at our church. I was a fairly new lead pastor, maybe within my first year or year and a half. And I was wanting to make, you know, a really good impression as he came. So I came to church earlier that day, earlier than I even usually do, to make sure everything was all set. And as I pulled in, I noticed there was some trash in the yard. And of course, I don't ever want trash in our yard, but especially the day that the district official guy is coming to visit, we don't want trash in the yard. And so I jumped out of the van and I picked up this trash that was in the yard. It was two large pieces of boxes that were kind of littering the grass, and they were mangled, they were empty, they were clearly garbage. And one was a used box of Twisted Tea, which is an alcoholic iced tea, in case none of you know that. All right, the other box was a remnant of a Budweiser beer box. And so I picked them up, I threw them in the back seat of the van. I'm gonna discard of these later. Why are you guys laughing? All right. So just a little bit later, Joel and I went to pick up the district official at his hotel to come and speak that morning, totally forgetting the litter cleanup that I had done just a few hours earlier. So as you're filling in the blanks, I can see when the Pennsylvania district superintendent of the Assemblies of God got in my van that day, he moved two empty boxes of alcoholic beverages off of his seat. And I turned six shades of red and I said, Pastor, I swear those are not mine. I swear, I swear. So the moral of the story, take out your trash. Don't leave it in the yard, okay? Don't leave it in anyone's yard because it's bad. You know, trash is distracting. Trash in the wrong place communicates something. It communicates laziness. It communicates lack of care, lack of commitment to follow through. It gives off the wrong message about a place or a person. It certainly did that day. And you know what? Trash in the life of a Christ follower is no different. And I don't mean mangled cardboard boxes. The reason why unbelieving people want nothing to do with church sometimes is because of trash in the life of Christians. Trash in our habits, trash in our words, trash in the way we treat other people. It's distracting to the message of Christ. It's confusing to people who don't know God yet. And ultimately, it is a measure of our commitment and our care for Jesus himself. So I want to show you just a few places in the scripture today in God's word. I asked Pastor Andrew to stay up here and help me read the scripture. These are just a few places in God's word that tell us to take out the trash.
1 Thessalonians 5:22, Stay away from every kind of evil. James 1:21, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice.
So in all of these, in other verses in the scripture, Jesus is saying, take out the trash. Don't let anything live in your life that would pull you away from your walk with God or things that communicate to others the wrong impression of who God is. I want to look at one passage today in depth for a few minutes regarding this idea of trash in our lives as Christ followers. And this passage comes from Ephesians 5. 1 through 11. I want to walk through this passage together, piece by piece. This is my favorite way to study the scripture, just small bites and see what God is telling us out of it. And so let's just start in Ephesians 5. Pastor Andrew, would you read just verses 1 and 2?
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
So this passage starts by saying, make Christ your example. Make Christ your model of how you are to live your life. We should not live to the standard of other people around us or even up to the standard of the best Christian we know. Sometimes we do that. We think, well, I want to be like so-and-so because they're like the best Christian man or woman that I know. And those are all good aspirations, but we should not be content if we sin less than the other people in our life. We should not say, well, I'm better than the other people in my friend circle. Or I don't do that like others I know at church. This scripture says we should try to live like Christ lived. I'm sure you've heard of the duck test. Okay, this is a duck. It is an actual term for abductive reasoning. It's a logical inference which starts with an observation, then seeks to find the most likely explanation. So it goes like this. See if you can finish it for me. If it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then, all right, it's probably a duck. Well, this test implies that a person can identify an unknown subject by observing that subject's habitual characteristics. Ephesians 5 is saying the rest of the planet will use the duck test when they look at your life. If your life looks like a follower of Jesus, walks like a follower of Jesus, and sounds like a follower of Jesus, then you're probably a follower of Jesus. However, if you say you are a follower of Jesus and you do not look, walk, or sound like one, that causes confusion. That potentially harms the message that Jesus is trying to send to the world through us. And this is one reason that we need to get the garbage out of our lives, because it messes up the duck test. It messes up what you're showing other people who Jesus is, because that is how we reason what Jesus must be like. Because if people say that they're followers of Jesus and they're not that way, then the reasoning gets out of tune. All right, let's read verse 3 and 4, Pastor Andrew.
But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving.
Okay, so Paul is the writer of this particular passage of Ephesians, and he groups together these ideas of sexual sin and impropriety, indicating that none of these are fitting for saints or people that follow Jesus and should not even be named among God's people. Here's the thing. God hates the things that hurt us. God hates the things that take us from him. He is a good father and he wants good things for us. And so he says, these are things you should stay away from, because this is the fence of protection that I've created for you so that you can have relationship with me, so that you can have intimacy with me, so that you can understand who I am and who you are. And so Paul, he lists a few specific sins here that are important. This list obviously is not exhaustive, but it's a really good place to start. We need to make sure that this particular sins that he lists in Ephesians 5, we need to get that trash out of our lives because it is not healthy for us. It's not good for us spiritually. But I think some of the most dangerous sins in our lives as Christ followers are the ones that are easily woven in. The ones that are barely noticeable because maybe we've carried them for a long time. Sometimes these sins are convenient or even promoted by other believers around us. It's normal that we don't kind of miss them in our evaluation of ourselves. And it's the danger of excusing ourselves because we're not dealing with bigger, more outward sin that we can point to in other people's lives. Oh, we're not doing that on the weekend, so we're just fine. Or we're not experiencing this. Or we used to be like that, and now we're so different, but then these other little things in our lives we let live. Things like pride, vanity, selfishness, worldliness, gluttony, little white lies that just kind of get us out of trouble, borderline dishonesty, lack of compassion, complacency, absorption in the affairs of life, love of pleasure, holding grudges, gossiping, other things like that. And I think at times these sins are more deadly because they go unrepented of, therefore they never change. And they get buried down deep inside of us and they become who we are. We justify them like, well, that's just who I am. That's just my personality, or that's just how I was raised, or in my house, that's how it always did it. And we accept these things in our life and we plant them down deep, and slowly over time, we find ourselves farther from God than we even realize. Because we refuse to face that maybe even these small sins are things that are keeping us far from God. In the Old Testament, there's a book called Song of Solomon. And Pastor Andy, will you read that for us? It's chapter 2, verse 15.
Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes.
Okay, so at first glance, if you read that, you were probably like, what does this even mean? How does this have anything to do with sin in our lives? But this little verse is using a metaphor of foxes as an image for sins like I just described. Potential threats that sneak in and spoil the fruit of God's work in your life. These little sins that spoil the things of value. Whatever analogy speaks to you today, over and over the scripture is telling us, catch the little foxes. Take out the trash. Do everything it takes to keep your heart right and pure before the Lord. Don't even let a hint of sin get in there. Because there is a consequence to all sin, tiny little sin and big old sin. There's a consequence. And there's a consequence for all of it. And the writer of Ephesians talks about that in the next few verses, verses 5-7.
For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
In this particular verse, Paul is leveling the playing field for sin. He's saying at all costs, Jesus his life. And so we can't just say, well, something I'm dealing with is no big deal because there's bigger things I could be struggling with. Or that other person is dealing with something bigger than me. Do not be partners with it because God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You know, almost every athletic coach is quoted saying something like this, a chain is only as good as its weakest link. In fact, I tried to Google it to give it credit to somebody, and it came up like every coach in the history of America. So we're just going to, you've probably said it before. In fact, my daughter plays on a club volleyball team, and a strategy that her coach has is they find the weakest player on the opposing team, and she tells our team to serve to that person. takes advantage of knowing that. It's a coaching strategy. Happens in basketball, football, other sports. And in the same thinking, if you can improve your weakest player, your whole team improves, right? If you can improve that weakest player, your whole team improves. Well, holiness works the same way. Becoming someone of holiness works the same way. Growing in holiness is identifying the weak links in your character. It's asking yourself, what part of my life is the weakest link in my relationship with Jesus? What sin am I tripping over? What little fox is still running around? What garbage is in the back seat? What in my life is the place that doesn't reflect the holiness of God the way that it should? Now, let me warn you about this. This is for you to evaluate you, okay? So if in your mind right now you're like, oh, I know exactly what it is for the person next to me, keep that in your brain. Because the Holy Spirit, when we ask him, he answers these questions for us. But a person who is trying to be holy is always working on something in his or her life. Something. Always working on something. We have to constantly work on that weak link. And that weak link changes over time. In fact, it should. If you, kind of work with God to figure out how you maybe are not so jealous of other people all the time, and God, and you work with that, and you find victory in that, and you have contentment, that's amazing. That's incredible. But you know what's going to happen? Soon you're going to start feeling a little critical of things. Then you have to go back to God and say, oh, this is now where we need the work. So here's the thing, a person is trying to be holy is always working on something in his or her life. So what is your weakest link? Where is your heart the most prone to wander? Is it lust? Is it lack of commitment? Is it lying? Is it stealing? Is it unethical business dealings? Is it what you say? Is it what you watch? If you want to be holy before God, then you are committing to identifying that thing and kicking it out of your life. You're committed to taking out the trash. I once heard this, and it really changed my idea of my relationship with the Lord. It said, your proximity to God can be measured by the amount of time it takes for conviction to set in. So let me give you an example. I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm super selfish about something. Joel's not nodding his head at all right now, I can tell. He's just making sure he makes no movement of his head. And weeks go by until I realize how incredibly unfair I was being. And I'm sure at that moment of selfishness, the Holy Spirit tried to tell me. He tried to warn me because of, he tried to tell me, hey, you're being selfish. But because of my lack of proximity and intimacy with the Lord, it took me weeks to realize that. Now, that should be a red flag to me. I need to connect with God's presence so often that when he tells me I'm being selfish, I'll hear him. Joel's now amening right here on the front row. Okay, that's what's happening. On the other hand, maybe have you ever been saying something, and as the words are leaving your lips, you're like, why am I saying this? God, I'm so sorry. Like, you're not even done saying it yet. And you're like, God, I'm sorry, right? Like, that's happening. Instantaneous conviction. You know what that means? You're plugged into God's voice. That's where you want to live. Now listen, take this warning this morning. If you are a Christ follower and you have not felt conviction for a long time, it is not because you haven't sinned. I promise. If you have not repented of any sin for a while, listen closely, you got to get to God ASAP. This is urgent. You need to ask him to show you the things in your life that don't please him. Because if you stop doing that, the proximity that you have to God, the intimacy that you have to God, could get so far away that you could end up in a space and a place with God that you never thought you would be. You have to get before the Lord and ask Jesus, would you please restore that still small voice in my spirit? In fact, I would venture to say, the more often you are convicted of sin, the healthier of a Christian you are. The more often God's going, don't do that. Or that was wrong. You better go back and make that right. The more connected to the voice of God you are. Don't be confused. If you are not hearing from God about things you're doing wrong, that's a you problem. That's a you problem. If you don't know what to say to the Lord, Psalm 51 is a great place to start. Jot that down. If you don't have the words to say, you just read Psalm 51 from your heart to the Lord, and that'll get you good started. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 8, 9 and 10.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Okay, so these verses describe what happens when sin or evil is dragged into the light of Christ. So when darkness is exposed to light, the darkness dissipates. It goes away. There's a familiar story, you might have heard it before, in John chapter 8 about a woman who is caught in the act of adultery. She's caught in her sin. And the woman is dragged into the temple before Jesus by some religious people. And they say, this woman should be stoned according to our rules, but Jesus, what do you think we should do with her? And just so you know, they weren't asking out of, like, they respected Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, what do you think we should do? We really don't want to do it. They were trying to catch him in a trap. They're trying to get him to go against what the rules said, because they were trying to get Jesus to break the rules. And so this judgmental and hypocritical spirit is what dragged this woman into the temple. And so the darkness of this woman's sin, that was certainly sin, and the darkness of the judgmental and hypocritical men surrounding her were dragged into the front of Christ, in front of the light of Christ. And in that moment, if you remember, Jesus says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone, and every single one of the men walk away, leaving the woman unharmed. But immediately after that moment, something you may not have noticed when you read the scripture before, Jesus speaks to the woman in adultery and the Pharisees who dragged her there and everyone else who is watching, and he says something. He says something so profound. Now get ready, because this is so good. John 8, verse 12.
When Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Look at that. So when sin is dragged into the presence of Jesus, he is the light of the world. He says, you don't follow me anymore. You don't walk in darkness if you follow me. You have the light of life because you have Christ. And walking as children of God requires us to take the darkness of our sin and expose it to the light of Christ, and then live as children of the light. And now living as children of the light is determined not only by what we do, we've been talking about that mostly today, but also by who we want to please. Living as children of the light is a matter of the motive of the heart, also the works of the hands, okay? It's what you do, but it's also why you do it. If you do it just to follow a checklist or rules, you're missing the point. But if you do it because you want to honor the Savior of your life, the King of Kings, you want your heart to be pure before the Lord. So not only do we need to do what God commands us, but also we need to do it out of a desire to please Jesus. Because if we do what God says with a resentful heart or a begrudging heart, that's not being a child of the light. That's being a good rule follower. God calls us to be holy and to have radical obedience. And he leaves us notes all through the scripture. One of them, I really believe, is take out the trash. Drag your sin to the foot of the cross and let the light of Christ expose it and then heal it. So this week, I really want to challenge you to give some analysis and thought into what garbage you still have in your life. Give some analysis and some thought to what about your life isn't a duck anymore. And figure out what God wants you to be working on to become and remain holy. And I also want to encourage you to share that thing. If you have determined, this is what I'm going to be working on, it's really important that someone in your life that you trust knows that and can help you with that. can help keep you accountable to that, can help you deal with the holiness that God is telling you in your life. And I believe through Christ, you can have victory on all the things. You can have victory. You can live a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to take the trash out of our lives. Here's how I want to end today. There's another really important assignment that we have. As followers of Jesus, as people that need to behave and act like we love Jesus, we are thinking about Easter, and as it's coming, helping other people understand what Jesus did for us on the cross and that he rose again. And I think one of the most important things, the most important opportunities for Easter is it gives us opportunity to invite someone, maybe someone that wouldn't ever come to church or doesn't come often, or someone you've never talked to about faith. It gives you an easy opportunity. Everybody knows about Easter. And so it gives you this opportunity. And like I mentioned, this series is called Notes from God. And so we went ahead and we created something I think is pretty cool. Some custom post-it notes, okay? These are your very own Erie First Assembly post-it notes. And on it is information about our Easter service, which is at 10 a.m. on March 31st. And the ushers are going to come now. They're going to pass them out. So they're going to bring them over to you as they do that. Here's what I want you to do with these. I want you to take these, and I want you to leave a short note inviting someone to Easter on them. Okay, you can give this to your coworkers, your friends, your family, your server at a restaurant, along with a tip. This is not the tip, okay? It's a bad tip. Leave a lot of money with this thing. And invite people to come, anyone God leads you to. I want to challenge you to leave at least 7 sticky notes around town in the next 2 weeks before Easter. Can you do that? Say 7. I can do 7. I can do 7. We want everyone to hear about the good news of Jesus being alive. So as the ushers are passing those out, we're going to sing this final song together. It's the song we sang earlier. It just says, I speak Jesus. I'll take Jesus to my neighbors. I'll take Jesus to the town. If you got your post-it notes, would you stand up? Stay seated if you don't have them yet. And once you get them, you can stand up just so we get everybody. And let's just sing this as we pass these out today. And then we're going to pray over these to close. today. Jesus, we speak you to our family. We speak you to our coworkers, God. We speak you to the people we run into in random places at the gym, at the restaurant, Lord God, at Target, Father, the places that we go. And we pray for every person that receives one of these post-it notes today. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring healing and freedom. God, that you would help people with fear and anxiety and depression and addiction. God, that you would help people that are confused and lonely and broken. Lord God, that you would go before it. And Father, we know you can use a little tiny blue piece of paper. And so, God, we ask that you would give us divine appointments, that you would help us know, be led by your Holy Spirit to show people who you are. We ask that you would grow in their heart the desire to know you. And we pray that each person who is invited will come and hear the message of hope and of life. And on Easter Sunday morning, many men and women and children would give their lives and hearts to you. Use this tool as we spread the good news of the gospel. And God, it's in your strong and amazing name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, we'll see you guys next Sunday for more Notes from God. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.